Well, as you can see on the screen there, our topic of today is Better Together. And but also, I want you to see on the title there, I followed up with a follow-up question there. What's missing? What's missing? And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I want to start out with a poll here this morning. How many of you believe that we are living in the last days? Raise your hand really high. All right, as I look around, it looks like most of you believe that. Most of you believe that we are living in the last days, and I realize there may be some people here today that maybe you're unfamiliar with the Bible and what the Bible says about the future events, but the Bible speaks of a time in the future when Jesus Christ will return to gather the believers and take them on to heaven. And then here on earth, he's going to bring about a judgment upon the earth, which the Bible refers to as a tribulation period. Now, we don't know when Christ is going to come to take his church home. There's no signs for that. But there are some signs that he has given us concerning the day of the Lord when he will come and set up his kingdom here on earth. And of course, as we see those signs taking place in our world, then we know that his return for his believers are even sooner. Maybe even today. Maybe you might be sitting there and enjoying your curry here today. And before you can get that last bite in, boy, you're going to be gone. Rapture is going to take place and take you on home to Jesus. But even those who aren't Christian, they can see the turmoil that's taking place in our world today. And I've heard so many times that we're living in unprecedented times. Have you heard that? We're living in unprecedented time, unprecedented season. And boy, I would give anything for some precedented here this morning. Don't you want some precedented here this morning? I just want things to be normal. But because the events that are taking place in our world, in our lives, more and more people today are just tense and they're easily agitated. People are uneasy at best, terrified, and incredibly angry at worst. And I've talked with people who just have this deep sense of a feeling of disconnectedness and hopelessness and a lack of confidence in the future and lacking direction and questioning everything and everybody. Where's the conspiracy? Who's behind this? Who can we trust? Who's telling us the truth? And they're slipping into some destructive habits and some bad rhythms. And so many people today, in one form or another, they would basically say, life just isn't working out the way I hoped it would work out. Things aren't going well right now. Such a heaviness, such an uneasiness. And that's why I want to talk to you here this morning about what's missing in your life. What's missing in your life? Now, Paul encourages us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching, it may be difficult for us to encourage one another if we're not regularly meeting together. As the day of the Lord approaches, things will even get worse and get more insane. Wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, tanking economies, famines, diseases, conflict, despisers of those that do good. I mean, the conflict that I'm seeing right now is the greatest that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Or maybe I'm just more astute to it now. I don't know. But these things are not to frighten us or to make us worry. In fact, we can even get excited when things happen, not because we get excited about people getting hurt and harmed, but as we see the things that are happening, we know that Jesus Christ is coming soon because these are the signs that are happening. And we hope that, we have a hope that goes beyond this world. But in order for us to encourage one another so that we don't forget that, we need to come together and support each other. So let me encourage you here this morning. If you don't have a church home, listen, find a local church assembly that you can be a part of. And if you are local, and if you don't currently have a church that you attend, well, listen, you're more than welcome to come and join us here at Haven Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. However, one of the things that you will need to do in order to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The signs of the time are knocking on the door and his return is imminent, which means he can return to any time. Because of our sins, we are separated from a holy and righteous God, and we deserve damnation because of that sin. But God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to come and to take our punishment on the cross. He took our place. We should have been once on the cross, but he took our place on the cross. He died for us to pay for our sins. And he had to be the perfect sacrifice because that's what God had required. So Jesus died in your place and mine. He offers salvation to us. And if we are willing to confess our sin, to repent, which means to do a 180, to turn from a life of sin, to turn to a life of Christ, and to call out the name of Jesus and believe in what he has done for us, then we can be saved here this morning. And he is willing to save you right where you're sitting. That's a hope that you have here this morning. If you're willing to call upon him to save you, he's willing to save you. Maybe you came today because you heard about the wonderful food that we're going to be having here today. That's okay. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. I don't want you to miss out on the food, and I don't want to miss out on it either. But also, I don't want you to miss out on Jesus. This is why we're here. Accepting Jesus is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And we're going to be discussing the church here this morning, and also is referred to as the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ. And Jesus wants you to be part of that body, but the only way that that's going to take place is through you receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that is a need that you have here this morning at the end of the service, please stick around and have lunch with us and give us the opportunity to show you how you can be saved. We'd love the opportunity to do that. I want you to be a part of the family of God, but also I'd love for you to be part of our Haven family as well. And so I want to encourage you with that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you here today. Now, as we open up your Bible, we open up your word. I pray that you would guide us and direct us and help us to see, Lord, what the church is and how we operate, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's talk about the church here this morning and the church defined. As we look in the scriptures, I want to talk to you today about the church and give you a little bit of context from the scriptures here this morning. The root Greek word that is translated church in the New Testament appears 107 times in the New Testament, and the word is ekklesia. Ek meaning out of, and klesia, which comes from the root word of calling. So the word means both at the same time to assemble, to gather, and called out. And this is what we are to do as a church here. And as we describe the church, we need to look at the church and say, well, what does the church look like? If we're going to be the church, what does the church look like? We're gathered here together to strengthen one another, to be called out, as we've already seen in Hebrews, to encourage one another, to build each other up. This is the word ekklesia. And who do you think first mentioned the word ekklesia in the New Testament? His name is Jesus. Jesus is the one that mentioned the church for the very first time in the Bible. And just to give you some context, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he gave them a bit of a pop quiz. And he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And disciples started throwing out ideas that people say who Jesus says that people say Jesus is. And some say, well, he may be John the Baptist, or he may be Elijah, or maybe Jeremiah, or some of the other prophets. But then Jesus turned to the disciples and looked at Peter and says, now, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And the Spirit of God came over Peter and gave him wisdom. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement that is. Jesus is the Christ, the one that Israel had longed for, the one who was predicted in the Old Testament, the Messiah, but also the Son of the living God, not some dead idol, not some figment of one's imagination. He is the living God of this universe. He's not just a prophet. He is not just a teacher. He's not just a good person in history. Jesus Christ is God. And for those who claim that Jesus never said he was deity, look at his answer in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He is the one that has revealed that to him. He didn't deny his deity there, but rather he confirmed it with this response. And with that backdrop of this statement, Jesus then brings in the concept of the church. And for the first time, the church is mentioned here in all of scriptures. Notice how Jesus responds, because he talks about the church's defense here. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, says, and I will also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the rock here is Petra, which refers to Jesus Christ. It's not referring to Peter here. It's a large, unmovable rock. Peter's name means stone or a piece of rock, something you can pick up. But Jesus wasn't saying that we're going to build this church on Peter, but he said we're going to build this church on himself. He is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Whose church is it? It's Jesus Christ. It is his church. Jesus loves his church. He died for his church. He cares for his church. He loves and wants to build his church. And he has decided to use people like you and me to be a part of this church. What profoundly interests me is that the first time Jesus mentioned the church, he said, I will build my church, but he didn't say, I will build my church and the church will care for the widows, even though that was very important to him. He didn't say, I will build my church and there will be peace on the earth, even though he came to bring peace on the earth. What he said, he says, I will build my church. Notice this, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, the first time he talks about his church, there is a visible, very clear, very plain reminder that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And we often refer to this as spiritual warfare. And as we see the day approaching, this spiritual warfare will only intensify, and we need to be prepared. And this is one of the reasons why we assemble. This is one of the reasons why we come together. And just like any battlefield, it's harder to survive on your own. This is why we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The benefit of the church in my life are too great to number here this morning, but nearly every major thing that's happened in my life is in relation to the church. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior as a result of attending a church. I was discipled with the truths of God's Word in our church. I received my calling in life in our church. I received my start in physio from a guy in our church. My wife came running and chasing after me in my church. Don't tell her I said that. But she became my partner in life in my ministry. And I could not do this ministry without her. And I met her in our church. Some of the best mates I have are part of my church. And it had not been for my church, I would not be here today. A church plays a very important part in the life of the Christian and should not be neglected. Everything that I can find meaningful in my life is a reflection of the work of Jesus Christ and work of God in my life through the bride, through the body, through the church. And it's not because I'm a pastor. Much of this has happened before I became a pastor. And it's because I was and I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm part of his church. And I hope that many of you have similar stories to that. You can think back on some wonderful things that have happened and taken place in your life as a result of becoming part of a church. But here, God uses the bride metaphor here as the bride being the church. And so it's like a marriage relationship here. And as we think about the marriage relationship, one of the verses that we can go to when we talk about marriage is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish. Paul uses the relationship between Christ and the church, his bride, in order to be an example of how husbands are to treat their wives. And in this scenario, Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. And in Revelation, the church is also referred to as the bride of the Lamb. And if you read that in context, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Paul also describes the relationship of Christ as we are one with Christ. He is in us and we are in him. And as we think about the marriage relationship, whenever a husband and wife comes together, the Bible says they become one flesh. So let's take a look at this idea about the church being the bride in Proverbs, because we see a valued relationship here. In Proverbs chapter 31, if you know anything about Proverbs chapter 31, this is where all these godly women go to learn how to be godly women. And you can actually, it's a metaphor, I believe, of the relationship between us and Christ as well. You can put in the church for the bride there, and you can put in Jesus Christ for the husband, and it makes a wonderful metaphor of what we see in the church as well. But Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The price that Jesus Christ paid for his bride, the church, is greater than many jewels. We've just read in Ephesians that Jesus gave his life for his bride, the church. And just as the bride longs to be with her husband, we too should long to be with Jesus Christ. And he desires to be with us. Christ says that he is in the midst of the churches and we are all part of his body. and we should not live a life disconnected from Him. I'm not saying you could lose your salvation, but listen, you cannot fulfill your calling of God apart from the church, apart from the body of Christ. You can't do that. This is why He has instructed us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As time gets tougher and the world becomes more evil, and we must unite and help one another. And if you are connecting emotionally to what I'm saying here this morning, it's probably because you recognize that you just don't go to church. You are the church. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I will build my church. Understand that you are part of something greater. Understand that you are part of something bigger. You have a bigger calling. You have a bigger mission in this world. Does this connect with you emotionally here this morning? If not, then ask yourself, what's missing in your life? What's missing in your life? Why is your life maybe not working out the way it should? Why is that you feel disconnected or alone or trapped or hopelessness or you're desperate? What's missing from your life? Maybe it's the church, and maybe the church is missing you. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I want to suggest a very real shift in mindset here this morning. And please hear me when I tell you this. It's not just a play on words here. This is a change of thinking to truly understand the church for which Jesus gave His life for, and the church for which He is building. He said, we just don't go to church here this morning. Church is not a destination. If you can go to church, you can leave church. Church is not a destination. Church is an identity. It is not a building. It is a people. And that's why you just don't go to church. We are the church. We are here for the world. What's missing in your life? And maybe you're not engaged in the war. Maybe you're not engaged in the war, making a difference, pushing back the forces of darkness as you've been created and called to do by God in His church. Maybe you recognize, man, it's a crazy world out there, and we're in a war, but I'm just not going to engage in that. I'm not going to be a part of that. In high school, one of the ways that we would show affection for one another was through physical contact. And so one of my mates would come up to me, and he would punch me in the shoulder and say, "What's up, bro?" And so I was like, I punch him back, "Nothing, bro." And then we would carry on the conversation. And then pretty soon, sometimes things would get a little out of hand. And we start punching each other, and I'm thinking like, you know, yeah, we're friends here. And then I'm like, whoa, hang on. This guy's trying to hurt me. And next thing you know, he's like, hey, it's on. And, you know, we're on the ground, we're rolling around, and we're in a wrestling match. And here I'm thinking that we're buds, but you know what? We're not buds, we're in a battle. And some of you would be wise to recognize that there's someone attacking you whose mission is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we are in a battle. We are to engage in this battle as a church. And our battle, listen to me, is not against flesh and blood, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, but it is against principalities. It is against powers. It is against rulers of the darkness of this age. It is against spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Think about what's happened to the churches over the last few years here. It's not a battle against mask wearers and non-mask wearers. Shot takers and not shot takers. It's not against those who vote one way versus those who vote another way. It's not against our brothers and sisters. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of this dark world, and we are called to be a light, a force of love, and to push back the kingdom of darkness. Listen to me. What's missing in your life? Maybe it's the church, and maybe the church is missing you. Maybe you're like, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in God and all that stuff, but you're not engaged in the war. You're called to be engaged. I don't know what this would mean for you right now, because right now the world is different, and there's much more different than what it was when I was a kid. Let me just encourage you and plead with you and beg with you here this morning to engage in this spiritual battle. What might be missing? Maybe the power of community. When iron sharpens iron, and together you strengthen and you lift and you love and you convict and you correct and you encourage one another. You can't do it alone. I have your back here this morning, and you got mine. Right? Yeah, man. Please say yes. We can't do this alone. Maybe for you, it's prayer. You want to do some real spiritual battle, real spiritual warfare? Get on your knees before God and you pray and ask for the power of God to come and descend upon earth. Engage in prayer. Be a part of our prayer team. Don't just sit by and watch the news all day long, blah, 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 blah. The world's coming to an end. Hey, look, do something about it. Engage. Hey, listen, you have some spiritual gifts. You want to be part of the body of Christ. Every part of the body is important. And this is why he has equipped us. This is an equipping relationship. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to be to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. We all have gifts. We all have responsibilities. And we can't do everything. And not one gift is more important than the other. It's important for us to come together in unity and faith, so that we can be the perfect man that God would have us to be. It goes on to say that we should no longer be children. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. They're talking about spiritual maturity and carried around with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may be growing up, he says. Again, the spiritual maturity, that we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined knitly together by whatever joint supplieth, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share. Notice that. Cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Bible talks about the church being a body. We all have a part to play, and we all work together in order to accomplish that which is greater than the sum of us. God has given the church what is needed to survive and to be successful. He has not just given us his spirit and his promise, but he has given us, each and every one of us, to each and every one of us. And if you are a child of God here this morning, and he has given you a gift that you can use within the church, within the body, we are not all the same, and nor should we expect to be the same. But let me ask you a question here. Are you using your spiritual gifts in order to make a difference in this battle? Find a place that God can use you so that you can make a difference in this world. You are fulfilled as you use your gifts to make a difference. Understand that. You're not feeling fulfilled today? Well, then you are fulfilled when you use your gift to make a difference in the church. You can give. For God so loved the world, he gave. He's our example. You can give. And one of the ways you're most like God is when you're giving. Thank you so much for those who have given to the work of Christ here in this church, or giving to the community, or seeing the needs of the people and saying, hey, as a church, we want to be a blessing to you. You can invite people to come to church, which you've done, and I'm so glad to see that. Thank you so much for that. And as a church in war, when you wake up with a search and rescue mentality. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, called to help people to be reconciled to God. Church is not a place we go. It's who we are. Who are we as a church? Listen, we need to lead the way with irrational generosity, because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. We believe that the local church is the hope of the world, and we can do infinitely more together than we can apart. It's not about us, it's about the church. So we'll do all that we can to serve our community because of your generosity. And do you realize that we as a church can do that? The same word, of God that changed my life, we can freely make to people all over the world. We're in a war. We're in a war. It's not just a world war, it's a universal war. And we'll do everything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus Christ, to reach people that no one is reaching, to go and do things that maybe no one else is doing. We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us, but we are the church, and we exist for the world. Who are we? We're the church. We are full of faith, not fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. What's missing in your life? Are you feeling unfulfilled as a believer in Christ? Could it be that you are missing church, or maybe church is missing you? I want us to all stand together right now, everybody. Let's just all stand. I want you to look around. You got my permission. I know it's going to be awkward. But just look around. Look front, behind you, on the sides. Look around here this morning. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are united, standing against one enemy whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. We are united around one mission: to lead people to become fully followers of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that above what we ask or think." I mean, look around. Haven't we seen this here this morning with our anniversary Sunday? Are we not living this out right now in our lives? According to his power that works in us, it is because of the power of God, he gets all the glory for what we have accomplished here at Haven Baptist Church. To God be the glory. To him be the glory. Where? What does it say? In the church. In the church. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. Amen. In the church, in the church, in the bride of the of Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever. Amen. Who are we? We are the church. We are the bride of Christ, known for generosity, seeking justice, expressing love, and not backing down in the face of opposition, but taking the message of Jesus Christ all over the world. What's missing in your life? Maybe it's the church, and maybe the church is missing you. As you prepare your heart for worship here this morning, I would love to invite you to engage in a spiritual battle. Come in and enlist. Step in. Step up. Because of the one who gave you life, your only responsible, reasonable response is to give your life for him. And if we can see it, if we can feel it, if we can allow that to move in our hearts here this morning and see how he's moving in our community, see how he's moving in our streets. Listen, his name is Jesus. He is good. He is awesome. He is wonderful. And we are the church, and we exist for his work as we represent him to a lost and dying world. And one of the things that we can do as a church is we can worship. Can we not? Can we worship him here this morning? We can sing our praises to him, and we can lift up our voices, and we can lift our hands and worship our God, and we can sing and we can celebrate what God has done here at Haven Baptist Church. So are you ready to put your worship on here this morning? Let's all lift our voices and let's sing and let's praise God and thank him for all that he has done here at Haven Baptist Church.